17th chapter, and it reads as thus. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was in the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he came to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make it for thee and for thy son. For thus said the Lord of Israel, The barrel of meat A meal shall not waste, neither shall the curse of oil fail, until the day the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the sayings of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the curse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and sickness was so sore that there was no him. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried upon the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he was revived. And Elijah took the child, brought him down out of the chamber into the house, and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said unto Elijah, Now by this I know thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth is truth. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. I don't know why I had a whole nother subject that I wanted to preach on this morning, but I don't know why the Lord told me to preach this message. But I turned around this morning and I was in my office and I looked at the screen and I thought I heard Barbara Cummings. And I looked at the monitor and right next to her, in front of her, I thought I saw Tommy. And I'm standing up here this morning and I'm looking at Tommy and I'm looking at Barbara and when the doctor said, come in and give them the last rites, the Lord said, no, not now. When the doctor said, he's not going to make it, the Lord said, that's my decision. Amen? So I don't know what you're going through this morning, but it's the Lord's decision. Amen? I don't know what you're going through this morning, but I want you to know, man has nothing to do with God's decision. Hallelujah. We're in some situations this morning, but man has got nothing to do with God's decision. So I want to ask you a question this morning that you can ask yourself. Can God really meet your need? Oh, hallelujah. Somebody's going to have to turn off the heat. Can God really meet your need? Amen. God does not tell you what's going to happen between his call and the fulfillment in your life. But he does show you the blessings. Amen. Most of us realize that those blessings are hidden in the circumstances he did not tell us about. You know, God can't tell you everything. Because if he told you everything, you'd run. Because you would hear something that would make you weaken your knees. You would hear something that would turn your stomach. And God doesn't let you know that. But God uses circumstances to hide his reward from those who are less diligent. You see, you have to trust in God. Because if you didn't trust in God, you would not make it all the way through. So therefore, those that do not trust in God, they see the circumstances, they never get to the reward. Amen? God knows that we have to walk through trials and tribulations of life. And if there's a common element for each and every one of us in here today, there's everybody in here, we all have needs. I have needs. You have needs. My needs are not your needs. Your needs are not my needs, but God can handle every need that is needed. There's going to be times in our life that we're going to have a need. Maybe it's a need for something material. I need shoes. I need a shirt. I need deodorant. Whatever that physical need is. There's times, and those are the things that we focus on most, the physical needs. But there will be times that we have emotional needs. Amen? We are emotional people. We have emotional needs. There are times when we have a physical need, and they will present themselves. Surely, as you get older, your physical needs are going to outweigh some of the needs that you had before. Amen? When you get older, you may have to pay for medicine instead of getting new shoes. You'll be happy with the shoes you got. The shoes you have don't have to match. It don't have to match your dress. It don't have to match your earrings. Because you need that money for something else. Amen? There's other times where we're going to face days where the greatest need in our life is going to show up. And that's our spiritual need. Amen? But what do we do when those needs arise? Amen? The natural thing is for us to run. The natural thing is for us to worry about it. But we know from the Bible if we are children of God. I said if we are children of God. This is not God's will for our lives, that we should worry. Sometimes we try to meet our own needs. Should we try to meet our own needs? I say yes. Try to meet your own needs if you have the power to help yourself. Don't sit around hungry and waiting for God to give you something to put the spoon in your mouth. You can fulfill that need. But what I'm referring to and what I want you to think about is those times when you have a need and you reach the end of your line. That the need is there and you don't know exactly what else to do about it. Amen? When we have exhausted every resource and we're left with the liability of what is happening that is staring us right in our face. What do we do then? The answer is simple. The answer is given by the mouth of the word of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. His answer to getting to the needs of life are met with this statement. And Jesus answered unto them, saying, have faith in God. You see, we have a God in heaven who can be trusted to take care of his children. The devil, Satan, and his enemies, his demons, they're going to say to you, can God really meet your needs? He did it for you, and he did it for that one, and for that one. But is he going to do it for you? Can he really do what you need him to do? Amen? I'm sitting up here right now, and I can go back to Tommy. I can go back to him laying up in that hospital. I can go back where maybe the enemy was speaking to people saying, can God really bring him through? Can God really turn this around? I'm talking about Tommy because he's here. But there's other people I've been on the line with recently who have told me that my mother and my father have come to the quote-unquote, their deathbed, where they were supposed to give last rites, and instead of giving last rites, they prayed. So when you're going through something and somebody want to give you last rites, you tell them to pray for you. Amen? When our needs arise, what else arises with that? When we have needs, and the need gets so severe, what rises? Our doubts. It is natural for when you have such a great need for your doubts to come up with it. Amen? And then the devil says again, can God really meet your need? And then if we're not careful, we find ourselves wondering the same thing. Can God really meet my needs? So the question I'm asking you to face this morning, and you have to answer it, whatever your issue is, and I want you to come to terms with it, can God really answer your need? So while you're asking yourself that question, I'm going to answer you right now and say, yes, God can. Amen? Yes, God can. Whatever your need is this morning, look at it and say, yes, God can. Hallelujah. I read that scripture, I read that chapter, and I want to show you something in the text today. Our needs sometimes have many sides. We don't just have one need, but our needs have many sides. Amen? Just like the life that God has given us, it is so abundant. It is so filled. There's so many things in life. Our needs have many sides. Many times, our needs are varied and they're strange. I have a strange need from you. It's so different. If I said, I need hot sauce with my spaghetti, somebody might look at me and say, hot sauce with spaghetti? But that's okay. That's a need of mine. I can't eat the spaghetti without the hot sauce. Amen? But in this passage, I want to come to three things that are mentioned, three needs that are mentioned in this passage. There was a need for Elijah. Amen? You see, Elijah had a need because he was obedient to the will of God. He was just doing what he was told to do. He had went and he had declared that there was going to be a drought. And he had to get going. Amen? Elijah was doing the will of God. And there's sometimes when you are doing everything that you're supposed to do, something happened and then the need comes. Amen? I know that there are people who will pay their tithes and then the need come. And some people will start thinking, I can't pay my tithes because I know I need it for this. Amen? There's sometimes you're living right and the need comes. There are some times where there's troubles and problems that plague your life and then the need comes. Amen? If there was no trouble, there would be no needs. If there was no plagues, there would be no needs. Amen? But the thing about when these things happen is that they always take us by surprise. Why do these things take us by surprise? Jesus said it this way in John 16 and 33. These things I have spoken to you. These things I have spoken to you. But listen to what he says. That in me, you will have peace. In this world, you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. When you look at the scripture, Jesus said these things he said, but he says that you might have peace, but in him. So if you're outside of him, don't expect the peace. He said in me. So when you don't have peace, are you in him? Are you outside of him? Are you around him? But you're not in him. Amen? Whoever got people believing that once you come to Jesus and you have salvation, that everything is going to be hunky-dory, our troubles are all behind us, let me tell you this morning, don't believe the hype. Amen? In truth, salvation has opened up the door. Listen to me. Salvation opens up the door for trouble to come in. Amen? When your enemy sees that you're not going to fight back, they get bolder. Amen? Especially when the crowd's around. We were all children. We all went to school, and we all seen those fights in the schoolyards, right? And sometimes you would have the bully or somebody getting ready to fight, and the other person is not going to fight back, and you could tell they ain't going to fight. They're not going to fight back. Well, as the bully starts to see that you're not going to fight back, don't they get bolder? Don't the declarations get bigger? Don't they start talking about everybody in your family just making you madder and madder? And their little minions are on the side going, ooh, 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 you going to take that? You going to let them talk about your mama like that? You going to let them talk about your father like that? You ain't going to do nothing? Hallelujah. You see, the enemy will use people who will come at you that way when they think that they take your kindness for weakness. But there is power in the name of Jesus. All you have to do is pray. Hallelujah. But there's power in the name of Jesus that will pull down every enemy, every demon, every stronghold in this world. Amen? The truth of the matter is that you need to expect a life of trouble. Job said, man who was born a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. So you know what? When you leave here today, if you don't get nothing else, just know that you're going to be full of it. You're going to be full of it, full of trouble. Amen. When trouble comes around, we need to stop hanging around with our mouth open like, how could this happen to me? Close your mouth. Rejoice. Hallelujah. Peter said, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you. Which is to fiery trials try you. Amen. Don't think it's something strange has happened to you. It's normal. He said, don't think it's strange. It's normal. When we wake up in the morning, we consider it normal. Amen. We bless the Lord. Amen. But we know that something might happen. Something's going to come our way. Don't think it's strange. Don't say, why did this happen? This is unusual. No, that is usual. Hallelujah. The verses in this scripture shows that this woman was in an uncontrollable situation. Amen. The verses, we realize that this widow was suffering because of somebody else's wrongdoing. Because the sin of Ahab, the sin of Jezebel, the sin of the nation of Israel, God sent a drought through the land. Amen? And it affected where this widow lived. Amen? She just got caught up in an unfortunate situation. Have you ever got caught up in an unfortunate situation where just because you lived in a certain place, you walk down a certain street, your last name, the last name of your family, I don't hear too many people saying amen, but the last name of your family will strike up some kind of negative attitude that people will have towards you, amen? You didn't name yourself when you were born. That was the name that you were given, amen? This woman was caught up in an unfortunate situation. She was an innocent bystander, and there's times in your life for you and for me, we're going to be quote-unquote innocent bystanders, amen, through no fault of our own, and we're going to be caught up in a situation. How many believe me? Say amen. How many know what I'm talking about? Say amen. How many really know what I'm talking about? Say amen. Let me see a show of hands right now. Amen. And if you don't know, I'm going to tell you right now, you were caught up in an unfortunate situation the day you were born. Because you were born into sin. Because of Adam and Eve. Hallelujah. Through no fault of your own. But you were born into an unfortunate situation. But then sometimes we make our own trouble, don't we? Sometimes we make our own trouble, don't we? Sometimes we make our own trouble, don't we? I'm waiting for somebody. Sometimes we make our own trouble, don't we? That shouldn't take us by surprise either. You know, sometimes trouble comes and then you look and you say, I did that? That happened because of me? You know well it happened because of you. That should not take you by surprise. Sometimes when you get up in the morning, you need to look in the mirror and say, that might be my biggest problem of the day right there. Amen? Jesus said things would be this way. He said that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and send rain on the just and on the unjust. Amen? What that scripture says is just because you good or you following the Lord, that the sun only rises on you. No, the sun rises on the good and the bad. The sun rises on the just and the unjust. This woman, she had an untimely sorrow. We found that she had given so much to the Lord. She had received so much to the Lord. But when she was thrown into a time of grief over her, the death of her son, she was upset. You see, everything was going right. The prophet had told her, you're never going to run out of bread. He ensured her, you're never going to run out of oil. He told her those things, and those things came to fruition. She thought that everything was going to be right, and then her son died. Her whole world. Sometimes we'll be doing the right thing and everything will seem to be okay, on track, just the way I thought it would be. And then some unfortunate incident might happen. I don't know if you've ever been there. But it looked like for her things couldn't get any better and it looked like things couldn't get any worse. The Lord has been blessing you. The Lord has knew what was best for her. And all of a sudden, the bottom falls out. Amen? Sometimes we're doing what we need to do, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the bottom falls out. And what do we do then? Do we start blaming God? He not only blesses you in the good times, but he blesses you in those times. Amen? Don't let trouble have a way of overtaking you because you're not expecting them. That's the problem right there. Because you don't have an expectation of what the enemy is in store, has in store for you. Amen? You let things sneak up on you. But if somebody's roaring back and forth like a roaring lion going back and forth, why should you not be on guard? He's always on guard. Why should you not be always on guard? If there was somebody stalking you, let me ask you a question. If there was somebody stalking you and you knew that they were stalking you when you came out of your house in the morning, when you got in your car on your way to work, after you get out of work and you get in your car and you keep seeing the same people stalking you, would you be aware of it? Would you want to write down that license plate number? Would you want to have that phone ready to call 911 just in case something happened? Well, the devil is stalking you every minute of your life. Why don't you see the signs that he's stalking you every minute of your life? Why don't you have that prayer 911 ready to call on the name of Jesus when he attacks? I don't understand the difference. It's one and the same. The devil is after you each and every minute of your life. And he's not going to stop. He is not going to stop. So why are you stopping? Why are you being unprepared for him? Why do you think it's strange when things happen? Jesus said, Paul, they said, don't think it's strange when these things happen. Hallelujah. Let me say this. When things happen to you like this widow, God knew it was going to happen before the foundations of the world. I'll go a step further. I'll say he even orchestrated this event to help you in your life. Things that you're going through, he orchestrated it in your life. If he knew from the end to the beginning, he knew everything in between. Amen? But when he orchestrates something, he always makes preparation for it. Hallelujah? You see, God has your supply. He has what you need. He's waiting for you to ask for it. He's waiting for you to come to him. Amen? Thousands of years before Elijah needed that drink of water, Don't you know God took his finger and carved a river there, a stream there, knowing that Elijah is going to need some water when he does his will? Amen. God knew his servant would need provision. And God made a way long before Elijah came. If he did it for Elijah, he's done it for you. Amen. Isn't it good to know that God makes a way for us? If somebody knows your trouble, I'll put it to you this way. If you know that your child, you know your children, and you know they're getting ready to do something, and you know what kind of trouble it's going to make, don't you prepare for it? I'll make it real simple. It doesn't have to be all of that intricate. You put your little baby, you put them at the table, and you give them a bowl of cereal, and they're eating that cereal with a spoon, and you say, lean over and get it. Lean over and put it in your mouth. And they doing like this. That it's going to spill. It's going to get all over the place, right? Right? Don't you prepare for it? Don't you put some napkins down? Don't you put something on the floor? Don't you put a bib on the baby? Because you knew what your child was going to do before they did it, and you prepared for it. We are children of the Most High. He knows what we're going to do before we do it. He's prepared for it. And there are some people who says that and think that God doesn't have a hand in these things. But listen to what God says. He says, I formed the light and I create the darkness. I make peace, and I create evil. I, the Lord, do all. I do all these things. Amen? So, some of the things that we go through, the Bible says, and we like to throw it out there, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. When you go through something, and it might appear to be evil or wrong, he's looking to use you according to his purpose. Amen? It might seem that God isn't moving. It might seem that he left you in the breeze twisting and turning. But God has already met your need before you even needed it. He has met your need before you needed it. God will manifest the supply in his own way and in his own time. Amen? Your job is to be patient. Your job is to be patient and faithful. I need to say that again. Your job is to be patient and faithful. Amen? Psalms 84 and 11 says, the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. There is nothing that God will not give you. There is nothing that he won't, that he will hold back from you. Amen? Nowhere is God provision seen more clearly than in the area of our salvation. Amen? Listen, if God knew you before you were born, he knew you were a sinner that were coming into this world. Amen? He knew that he had to make a way to save you. Do you get that? He knew that you were coming into this world. He knew that you were going to be a sinner, and he made a way for you to save you. Before you came into this world, God already knew that he would give up his son, Jesus Christ, to be a sacrifice for all. Amen? He knew that he would use his son and for those that have faith in him, that he would make a way for him. Amen? If God can meet the greatest needs of man, the greatest needs of all, he did that. When God let Jesus die on the cross as a sacrifice for all, He made the greatest sacrifice. He made the greatest provision that anybody could ever make for each and every one of us. Me, you, and everybody else that you know. Everybody you knew before, everybody you know now, everybody that you will know. Isn't that fulfilling a great need? Now think about the need. Isn't that fulfilling a great need? I don't know how many billions of people there are in the world today, but God fulfilled a need for those billions of people in the world today. Isn't that a great need? Come on, somebody. Isn't that a great need? Think about that. For every soul that's in the world today, that's alive today, that died hundreds of years ago, that died thousands of years ago, that's going to live for however many years this earth is going to go on, that God provided for that need. How great is that? Is that great? Give the Lord a hand. Give the Lord a hand. So now, if a great God can fill that greater need, how big is the need that you have? Come on, somebody. So your need is like this. It's smaller than this. You think that the great God can't fulfill your need? We have to realize how big a God we serve. Your need is not that big. It's not that big that God, the great God that we serve, cannot fulfill it. We get lost in ourselves and thinking, oh, this is so terrible. Oh, God, can you do it? Yes, he can. Hallelujah. In this verse, you look at the prophet. He did what God told him to do. And God knew that his man needed to eat. They called him the man of God. The man of God needed to eat. Amen. God supplied the necessities of life for the man of God. Amen. Notice, look at the way that God did it. He did it in a miraculous way, but he did it very, very ordinarily. Amen. It was like no great shakes. Amen. The miracle is that God used ravens to bring him food. That's the miracle. The ordinary is that he just used ravens. He didn't use big eagles. He didn't use hawks. He used little ravens to take the man of God food. Sometimes God is going to do things in your, miraculous things in your life. Amen? And it's going to appear to be ordinary. But it's a miracle. Don't overlook the miracles that God do for you every day thinking that it's ordinary. Just because it's not big. Just because it's not the eagle flying in to give you food. But you know what? Maybe when you needed something, somebody just stopped by and dropped off a box of food for you. Maybe when you needed something, somebody just slipped you a $20 bill for you to get what you needed to get to feed your family. Maybe when you needed something, somebody just showed up and said, hey, let's go to dinner. Maybe when you needed something. He doesn't need a parade to bring everything to you. God doesn't look for a parade. God doesn't need to be loud with anything. He just does what he does, and it's ordinary. Don't overlook the miracles in your life just because it ain't a big thing. God supplies your needs. Amen? God used the fowls of the air. I want you to know that when God makes a promise, it is conditional. I have to tell you that this morning. When God makes a promise, it's conditional. You remember the scripture where Jesus says, I will give peace to those that are in me? It was conditional. You want God to supply for you, and you don't do what God says? Let me go back to the other scripture. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and that are called according to his. See, we want the word to be like this. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and do whatever they want to. I don't want to hurt nobody this morning, but I'm going to have to. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and do what they want to do. It don't work that way. It's conditional. Let me tell you something. Your tithing is conditional. You wonder why your pockets have holes in it and you can't hold no money? It's conditional. Church membership. I know there's so many people out there saying, oh, you don't need to go to church. You fill in the blanks. I'm not going to that church because of. You know the pastor said. Let me tell you something. That book called the Bible said that we should not forsake. Because you're sitting around reading the word, but there are things in the word that sometimes you don't understand all of what the word really means. And you need somebody to expound on the word. And I'm going to be the first person to sit up here and say that I don't know all the word. Every day there's a new revelation in the same word that I've been hearing, that I've been reading, and that I've been preaching, and I've been teaching. So you can't sit at home talking about you reading the word and you won't come to church forsaking the fellowship of one another, the assembly of one another. I don't want to hurt nobody, but I got to. Because you sitting around reading the word and you don't even understand what the word means. You don't even understand the context in which it was written. That's why when somebody will say, oh, money is the root of all evil, you'll believe it. But it don't say that. It says the love. But I'm not here to hurt nobody's feelings. But I'm here to make it plain. You don't want to do what he says, but you want benefits. Listen, I want to tell you something. I'm trying to figure out how to put this one nicely. God is the first friend with benefits. God has been the first friend with benefits. And if God is your friend and you are a friend of God, you have all the benefits you need. Amen? That was my nice way of putting it. God will take care of your every need. This prophet, you know, have you ever done what God told you to do and then you had to run? You had to leave where you were at because you did what God told you to do and you don't know how you're going to eat. You don't know what you're going to drink. You don't know how you're going to live. But when you do what God tells you to do, you can expect that he's going to make a way for you. Amen? I believe with all my heart that when the need arises, that God will arise in your life and make things happen. In no uncertain terms, God will tell you to do something. He expects you to do something, and you must do what he tells you to do. Amen? Listen to Elijah's demand and response to this widow. Can you imagine you got two pieces of bread, a little bit of flour, and a little jar of water, and you, in your mind, you're saying, I'm going to make this cake, I'm going to drink this water, me and my boy, and then we're going to lay down and die together. Because we got nothing to look forward to. There's nothing on the horizon. There's nothing in the refrigerator. Nothing next door. I can't go to nobody. And the man, the preacher, he says, you take that and make me something to eat. But if you look at the scripture, he said in verse 14, thus said the Lord. So when God tells you, thus said the Lord, you better do what follows it. Because he made a promise there. Thus said the Lord. You know, I have to tell you that I was getting ready to preach another message, but somehow now I'm going to put it in there. Okay? There was a in the same book. There was a man of God, and God went and prophesied, and the man of God went and prophesied to King Ahab and told him that there was things that were going to happen. And God told him, do not eat from him, do not drink from him, do not take anything from him. And the king was so upset with him, he put his hand out of there and pointed at him. But God withered that hand. And he pleaded with the prophet, with the man of God, and said, oh, man of God, can you call on God? Can you get my hand straightened out? And he prayed for him, and the hand straightened out. And the king offered him everything. He says, oh, why don't you come to my palace? I'll give you this. I'll give you that. I'll give you every... He said, I'm not going to eat. I don't care if you gave me half of your kingdom. I will not eat from you. I will not drink from you. And I certainly will not take a reward for anything that God has done. Amen? And God told them, don't go back to where you came from. Go another way. Amen? There's a message in there that when God does something for you, don't go back where you came from. You better go another way. So there's an old prophet now who hears what the man of God has done. He saddles up the donkey and he goes to meet him because he wants to meet this man of God. And he comes to him and he says, man of God, I heard what you've done. Why don't you come to my house? I'll give you something to eat. I'll give you something to drink. You can rest and relax, wait, you know, at my house. And he says, I can't do that. And then the old prophet lied. He said, an angel came to me and told me to come take care of you. And he did it because the old prophet said, an angel told me to come and get you. Let me tell you something, folks. Later on, when he left the man, he went, he ate, he drank, he did all of these things. He got on that donkey and he left. But somewhere along the line, a lion came and killed him. Left the carcass right there. The donkey stood on one side of the carcass. The lion on the other side of the carcass. When other people came, they just rode on by because it was a curse not to be buried. But what is in this story? You know what? When God tells you to do something, don't let no prophet or somebody else tell you, oh, the angel of God told me, or God told me to tell you. You can check with God yourself. Don't let somebody change the plans that God has for your life. God will let you know. He'll let you know. That's why when somebody, people come to me and say, well, God told me to tell you. Well, why can't he tell me himself? He don't need no mediator. He'll, just like he told you to go, he will tell you when to come. He'll tell you when to leave. He'll tell you when to stop. He'll tell you when to go. Don't let nobody tell you when what God told you to do. Don't put a detour in your plan because you're believing on somebody else. Believe in God. Let me move along here because I'm starting to get a little excited. Amen. There are secrets that you need to know in getting your needs met. Number one, there must be faith in the will of God. I said there must be faith in the will of God. Amen? You must understand that if God told me to do this, I understand that he told me to do this, even though I don't know why I'm doing this, even though I don't want to do this, but if God wants me to do it, do it. The next thing, there must be faith in the ways of God. Hallelujah. There must be faith in the ways of God. Imagine, Elijah is sitting up there. God said, go over by this brook. The ravens are going to come and feed you. You're going to have water to drink, and then to dry it up. When God told him to get up and go to the widow, he didn't say, why? Three letters. Why? You get up, you go. Just like that. There must be faith in the ways of God. You can't understand God. You can't figure it out. Figure him out. If you could, you would be God. Oh, Jesus, let me stop. You ever seen somebody who think they got God figured out? You can't figure out God. And then if you were God, you could fix your own mess. But God don't make no mess now. God don't make no mess. But if you was God, you could figure out your own mess. And then you wouldn't need God anyway. You could figure it all out. We must have faith in the great truth that God knows what he's doing, and we must learn to trust his ways. That's why the scripture says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So let's go over that again. You have to have faith in the ways of God. Hallelujah. You must have faith in the will of God. Amen. There must be faith in the work of God. Listen, when God tells you to go into a situation, you're going in. He's already there. He's waiting. He's already there. So when God tells you that this is the work I want you to do, don't think, how am I going to do it? Say, God, okay, I know you're going to make a way for me to do this work. Amen? You're going to make a way. I will sit up here today and I will tell you that when God told me to come here and be the pastor here, I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know how to do it, but God made a way, and he made a way. Even all of my theological education, that was in the way. Even all the study in the papers that I wrote, that was in the way. He said, fill up You're going to have trial by fire. He put me in trial by fire. I could afford it, I wouldn't have won. I could have ran, and I would have fell down. I would have said, I ain't, and he would have said, you are. Sometimes God will put you in a situation where you are going to have to do things by fire. But he says, when you come out of the fire, when you come out of the fire, oh, hallelujah, when you come out of the fire, your trials and your tribulations that you're going through, there's a purpose for it. But when you come out of the fire, tested, tried, true, that's when God can use you. That's when he can use you. That's when those impurities come out in the fire. He burns all of that up in the fire. If you never had a reason to thank God, when you come out of the fire, you will thank God for what he's done for you. Have faith in the work of God. Then there must be faith in the word of God. Not just the word of God, but the word of God. Hallelujah. Don't you see it? The widow entered into this valley. She entered into this testing ground. Did you miss it? Did you miss what I said before? The Bible says, thus said the Lord God of Israel. When God says, thus says the Lord, if you have an issue, thus says the Lord, that issue is settled forever. Some of us have issues, but if you go and you do what God, thus says the Lord, he will settle it forever. If you want to keep going around in a circle, in a circle, in a circle, if you don't listen to thus says the Lord, you're going to keep going around in that same circle. Hallelujah. The woman had a promise of God to back up her faith. There's nothing like having the promise of God to back up your faith. When you do what God has told you to do in his word, you have the backup of God. Amen? And the Bible tells us faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. Hallelujah. David says, I have been young and I have been old, yet I have seen the right, I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed. It ain't about you no more. He said, and his seed. You got children, it ain't about you no more. You got grandchildren, it ain't about you no more. He says, I have never seen the righteous begging. You want to get some life insurance for your children? Listen to the word of God. You want to get a good education for your children? Listen to the word of God. There must be faith in the wonder of God. Oh, hallelujah. The Bible says, let me move along quickly. The Bible says, now unto him that is able. Ain't that a wonder? He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ever ask. Come on, somebody. That's the wonder of God. He can do abundantly, exceedingly, above all. Greater. This is a great God that we serve, that we could ever ask according to the power. Your faith has to have power. Your faith has to have power to overcome your thoughts. Your faith has to have power to overcome your circumstance. Your faith has to have power to overcome everything that you see. According to the power that worketh. Not around. Not mama's faith. Not not daddy's faith, but the faith inside of you. Worketh within you. Hallelujah. That's why you need somebody to tell you what the word is really saying. It worketh in you. Hallelujah. I want to know today, does this word faith, does it have anything to do with your life? We're supposed to be a people of faith. Faith looks beyond our present pain and sees the God who can and will. I want to know, are you there yet? Do you see a God who can and will? Is your faith taking you there? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us stand this morning. Hallelujah.